welcome to this Team Wales Partner Podcast series. My name's Simon Clark. I'm founder of Speakeasy Club, and I'm delighted to be your host for this really unique set of episodes with Team Wales Partners. Now, we're very lucky to have such a diverse range of organisations, of brilliant people, and we're going to sit down with them all, talk through everything that is sport, business and life. We're going to try and, you know, bring some things to life as well. There'll be a lot of relatable conversations throughout the series. And I got to say, I'm incredibly grateful for everybody that's given up their time to sit down, share some of their stories, talk through how they kind of look after themselves, but look after those that kind of sit alongside them in work and life as well. And of course, we use sport to tie everything together. In this episode, we sit down with Matthew Anderson from Sign Inc. It was really interesting chatting to Matt. He's really open, really honest, really vulnerable at times. And I loved his kind of positive challenge to things as well. It wasn't just accepting that kind of mental health is kind of a part of everything that we do. It was a real challenge around how it's impacting work, how it's impacting life, and ultimately how we can start looking after people to develop a bit of resilience. But also I was interested to understand his kind of attitude and approach to this is how we have these conversations. You know, as long as you're having the right conversations with the right people in the right ways. I really, really respected Matt for a lot of what he shared about his personal life as well. And I think it's a really fascinating and very relatable episode. So sit back, relax, enjoy it, and we can't wait to hear what you think. Matt, thank you so much for joining me, mate. As I said, as part of this Team Wales Partner Podcast series, we've had a chat offline as well, and I'm really interested to hear a bit more about your kind of journey, your experience. But just before we kick on into that, can you give us a bit of an introduction about you, the business, and a little bit about partnering with Team Wales?
Yeah, so my name's Matthew Anderson. The owner of a company called Signage, print company based in Swansea, I suppose you could say, Ponadilice. We've partnered with Team Wales now. We're in our second year. Rebecca approached me and asked me if I wanted to get involved with the organisation. I'd known Rebecca from a previous role she was in, so I got a good relationship with her. And I know if she gets involved with something, it's going to be pretty successful, to be fair. So yeah, we got involved. I knew the other partners as well. We've had dealings with them. So it was a nice opportunity to do something different as well from what we normally do. We do a lot of signage for sporting venues and stadiums and that. So this is a bit different, you know. So yeah, we had a chat, we had a coffee, and so far it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. It's nice to see the development of Team Wales and the Commonwealth projects and that. And yeah, it's good. So see, we've got another 3 years to go now with the Commonwealth Games just being announced and that. So it's going to be an exciting time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Rebecca will, she'll pay you and sort you out for that nice compliment there afterwards at another time. Yeah. Mate, we spoke again earlier about this series, and we're going to be launching it on World Mental Health Day, and it's a big, big topic. So I'll ask a really broad question to you. I'm really interested in your perspective. What does mental health mean to you?
Probably the word I hear more than anything these days. Years ago, it used to be equality in the workplace. Now it tends to be mental health, employment, life in general. It's a word that's thrown around quite a lot, good thing, but recently, without being too controversial, it's a word that can be used to defend your actions against something that you really shouldn't do. So it's on the danger point of being diluted as to not being a serious problem for those people who have got mental health. I mean, when we spoke before, seeing it being used as a scapegoat, which then people look upon people with issues with mental health and just think, oh, look, you haven't got mental health, you're just having a bad day, put yourself together, you know, when actually there could be an issue there. But those with platform are really taking the seriousness of it away and using it to their own benefit as such. So it's something I'm aware of, but it's fairly difficult now to identify true mental health problems with the word being so popular. She's using that card, or, you know, she's using that card, or yeah, you're going to say that because then your boss backs off on you, or, you know, help me out, I'm having a bad day or whatever. So I don't know, it's a, It's like mental health in general, all of them are just very dangerous words.
Mm-hmm.
And it just needs to be focused on a little bit more than what it actually is, you know? You know, the good to talk campaign and all the rest of it. It is, yeah. But as long as you're talking about the right things, you know, and you're not using it for get out of jail cards, literally. Sorry.
Right.
You're a little bit too controversial, as I say.
No. I totally hear you on that. I think you're right. It is weaponized a little bit. And again, not to be too strong a word, but clearly you're really passionate about it as well. So I'm just interested to explore a little bit more about what you said there around, yes, it's good to talk, but you've got to talk about the right things. What are some of those right things to you? And what are the places and environments that would help that?
In social media, like, 99.9% of the UK use it. And recently, over the past years, I would say, there's always been the odd campaign. You get the odd celebrity saying, look, check up on people, check up, make sure they're okay and stuff. But yeah, you should. But it literally is just a tiny bit more than that. I mean, the easiest thing in the world is just to send your mate a text message saying, everything all right? And if you know they're struggling or something as well, sending a text message saying, everything okay, how's things these days? You'll get a thumbs up, or you'll get, yeah, all good, thanks, good, okay, I'm sorted. And I'm guessing that 80% of people who send that message and just say, right, that might be, he's fine. He sent me a thumbs up, he's fine. Whereas recently, my own experience, you think, okay, thumbs up, fine, okay. So just follow that with a second message. Oh, great, what have you done? Or what, you know, what you up to, how you sorted? What you know, because I know you haven't been all right. Because I've had those messages. Everything all right, Martha? How's things these days? Is your situation? I got my situation. Maybe we'll touch about that in a bit. You're going to send the message back because, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. You're not going to go into that because this isn't a therapy scenario. It's a mess just asking you those things, you know? So I don't feel obliged to be able to say to somebody, well, actually, because then you're going to think, that guy on the other end thinking, oh my God, why did I ask that question? He just bombarded me with an essay of what's happened to him over the last couple of weeks. To talk is good, but the onus isn't on the person who's got the issue to talk. I think they should just maybe rephrase that. Part of the problem is they don't talk. And so we're not going to feel somebody telling, oh, because we're going to talk to what to say. No, it's a bit of an easy, another one, like, not an easy. Yeah, I got people who got, I know we're struggling with situations and stuff. Sometimes my hands up, I don't even send up, it'll be all right message. Sometimes I think, well, look, if you went there at all, you'd send me a message. And that's the problem. No, that's the bit there, that void in the middle of getting a conversation going or getting people to start talking. I mean, who started? Is it the guy who's struggling or the girl that's struggling, or is it the guy who knows they're struggling and they need to instigate something? So there's a little void, like, where the tide was in and out, nothing happens in between, no?
As you mentioned, we had a little chat previously as well, but one of the things, we didn't really talk about this bit you've talked about, and I totally agree. We're so aligned on that because it's very easy to go, oh, I asked him, yeah, he said he was all right. Do you feel like there's just a lack of curiosity generally? And maybe it's a male thing, I don't know, or if it's just perhaps we're too scared to ask the next question because we don't know what to do with the information.
Yeah, most people probably think, oh, I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, if you get a response back, which is highly likely from somebody who is struggling, and they'll tell you, no, I'm not okay, and they'll start telling you what the problem is, what deal was the guy who gets that message back do? I mean, where are you supposed to go with that? Are you supposed to just pick up the phone straight away and say, look, I'm on my way over? That would terrify most people, as to think, oh, I'm going over there. I'm not a counsellor, I'm not a therapist, I don't know how to respond to these messages. And I know there's a lot of organisations out there and things that you can get in touch with, and I suppose maybe the people who are seeing that somebody's struggling, they could get in touch with these people on their behalf. And then that opens up another kind of world. And I told you that in conference, why have you told somebody else and all the rest of it, you know? There's always the stigma, or it's a sign of weakness and all the rest of it. Yeah, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when the message comes in? I really aren't okay. Like, I've had such a bad week. Days of all would have brought you up. Pull yourself together. Come on, let's go with the problem. We'll sort it out. You're just having a bad week. And in some cases, that is the issue, you know. You know, you've had a tough week. You know, miners and stuff, they old days, the working class man would be like, he's having a tough week. Mental health wasn't a thing. Break your arm, you go back to work the following day. You know, it's like the hardcore old school, I'll brush it off, I'll be fine. If I'm brutally honest, a lot of that still needs to come back into society. I mean, I'm very fortunate with my work, guys. You know, they pride in what they do and they love coming to work. And I have conversations with them regularly about this, you know, about the mental health issue, obviously because they're fully aware of my situation and what goes on there. I'm also aware of what their family life is like as well. And it's a fine line becoming with having employees and having friends, because friends sometimes take advantage of each other, whereas you don't really want that in an employee situation.
Yeah.
You want to have like a borderline of saying, look, you can approach me and speak to me anytime you want. It's not a problem at all. I am your boss at the end of the day, but I'm also like a sounding board who might be able to help, might not be able to help. Got to be careful that you don't become mates who are working together, and you have to have that small borderline of the other day I'm paying your wages. So there is a fine line as to come in. Don't take the mick out of me. I'm still your boss. We've got a good understanding in our organisation where if there's a problem, the guys can approach me, no problem at all. I know it's a balancing act, you know? It's a balancing act.
Really interested to hear a little bit more about you and your current situation in a sec. Just something I wanted to pick up on then from a signing point of view and a business. I think what sounds like really clear to me is you said you're really lucky with the team in that you've got working for you because they've got pride in their work. But then very quickly you talked about, yeah, but we talk to each other, we allow people to be heard, to be seen, and you've got the boundaries, because at the end of the day, as you say, well, we'll look after you, that's what we do. At the same time, still got a job to do, guys.
Fair.
So, you know, can you just give us a bit more insight into what that looks like on a day-to-day basis for the business?
I'm cautious not to give an actual scenario that's happened, you know, because obviously part of our business is we do a lot of social events. So we heavily involved with Swansea City Football Club, which means that part of our package with our partnership with them is we get to go to football games regularly, and are lucky enough to get hospitality for every game. In some cases, or we think, right, let's make this a team day or a company day. So we'll go with friends and family and stuff like that. And once we're in that environment, we are not, I kind of say, take the shackles off. We're not at work, you know? I'm not paying you at this time, right? But we do still represent the company because we're there, we're branded, etc. So we do represent the company. But the conversation between ourselves is a free-for-all then. We can be offensive to each other as boys are. After a few beer, we can be have a laugh and that and this, that, the other. And after a few sherbets as well, obviously people relax a bit more and they're happy to speak a bit more. It's then that we kind of get the idol from experience from family members that my sister's child now is at an age where they help every night of the week at some sort of sporting event, you know, where all rugby, swimming, tennis, all of a sudden, there's always something that they've got to do, which is like 100 mile an hour, all involved, all focused on this little point. That is going to take its toll on parents. It is. When you have a conversation, you realise, okay, that's a lot to deal with, you know. I mean, my children are grown up now. Again, we speak about that a bit. My children are grown up now and they're not involved in as many activities as they once were when they were kids. But again, employees in work, they've got similar scenarios where their kids are at an age where there's something always going on, or when they start part-time employment, they're not old enough yet to drive, but they've still got to get to work and they've got to be picked up for work. Shoehorning that all into your lifestyle. All right, people tend it for you, but it does take a toll on people, you know, it does take a toll on people. So we talk about things like that. They're, okay, Math, can right, I need to finish a little bit earlier on Wednesday because I need to go and take my boy to X amount, or I need to pick my daughter up from here, things like that. And it's fine, you can do that, you can manage that, and if that helps people deal with their life, then great. But we've got a kind of understanding at work where, okay, I don't need to tell you, yeah, I'll let you do that, but I mean, need you in tomorrow morning at 7. So you can, like, I know that those guys will make that time back. But we're a small organisation. We're a very small organisation, like there's three of us, you know. We work with larger organisations, and I look sometimes at the way that the place is structured, and I think, oh my God, they expect to be in, they put in, they earn. And the guys are saying to me, oh, and Ralph, I could never work in a place like this. And I'm happy when they say that, because I'm like, right, okay, I'm doing something right here. But when you see these people come in, and they've got little offices in the corner, counselling suites and stuff like that, and you say, imagine working here. You know, you don't leave your desk. And when you leave your desk, you flick a flag over on top of your monitor to say where you are. We complain that battery hens get a bad life, don't eat free-range eggs. Well, these people aren't free-range human. These are guys in an office block, which are in rows and rows of chairs with their headsets on, all to talk for a certain amount of minutes a day. I mean, I'm using one scenario that I'm walking out of there and the guys were sitting in a van on the way back to the unit. We say, how do people do that for a living? How do they do it? And where's their escape? Because they're going to go from there and they haven't spoken to their mates out in the weekend go and stuff like that, you know, because they know their clock is ticking. I mean, I heard a story a couple of weeks back where during the pandemic, there were companies who put activators in their mouths. So when they were working from home, if their mouse wasn't working, moving, then they knew that they weren't at their desk. I mean, it was enough stress on the UK in those days without wondering if the mouse is working. These people have got 3 or 4 kids running around going. Difference between more tight-knit company, large corporate. But yeah, the large corporates are the one putting campaigns out there saying what they've done. I mean, putting a sticker on a wall saying this is sustainable. Not in a box. Well, it's ticking a box. That's literally what it's in a box. But we, like in Signing, we just, the mates, colleagues thing, we use it to our after events and stuff like that. You know, I'm a chat every morning. We say, I was a football boys and kids and stuff come in to work. I mean, we're a graphic business, so it's very visually stimulating. So kids come in, my boy comes in, he enjoys it. And there's all sorts of stuff that we can do and all that. You know, I don't have a counselling role. I wish I did, but I thought we have a counselling business. What did I make then? He said,
it really does. And it's really interesting listening to you there. Just there was different pitches in your voice as well, talking about certain aspects. And ultimately, you want to look after people. And you want to make sure that everyone that's kind of under your Signing banner, if you will, knows that they do what they need to do for them and their family. They know where the boundaries are, you know, so they're not going to take the mick at the same time. But a few examples there, kind of the other way, you obviously trust the people that work for you and they trust you. So it's quite clear that is a very positive environment. Talked about it, if you're comfortable, but be really interested just to hear a bit more about you and your current situation as well, if you're happy to share.
Yeah. So basically, as I say, I've got 2 children. Me and them, my man, together anymore, but I still got a good relationship with my children. My daughter's just turned 17, and my boy's just turned 14. So, but 3 years back, my daughter became a little unwell, and that escalated quite significantly now, and it is a mental health issue. She then went significantly unwell, where she was admitted to hospital. She spent the best part of a year there. So there was a difficult time where the breakup wasn't an amicable breakup, I'll be honest and say, you know, it wasn't, as in millions of breakups a year. But you've then got myself. I started to say, well, okay, is now the result of me and my parting company, is that why my daughter's in the situation that she is? And I needed to come to pieces to maybe take full responsibility. And yeah, it is. And that wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. And it took a long, long time. So I am the most stubborn person you've ever come across. And, you know, something's got to be blatantly obvious that it's my fault before I actually accept that it is my fault. I always used to be somebody who would find fault with what I'd done with somebody else, if that makes sense, you know? So yeah, that's something that took a lot of time and a lot of help from other people for me to kind of appreciate, right, okay, it was, you know, maybe I had a real significant part in why this has happened. But after I kind of understood that and accepted it, helped me a lot. And then I had a conversation with my daughter and said, look, I'm accepting responsibility here. That was a tough day, you know, it was a hard day and that tough conversation I've had. But it still doesn't change the scenario of what we're in at the moment. And again, being selfishness, it's a bit of me. That was about me. When again, you're thinking, okay, that's just for you to feel better about yourself that you've opened up and you said that. That's not really fixing any issues now, you know? So then it's the next point then of kind of saying, but okay, I don't want forgiveness. I don't want anything like that. And you have to keep emphasizing that, as to say, look, I'm not doing this so that my conscience is clear or that I'm as a weight lifted off my shoulder. Just want you to know that I'm accepting responsibility and it partly my doing that's resulting in this. So how can we fix it? Like, what can we do now? How can we get back on? Or, you know, going to take lots of time, and no matter how much time it is, you know, I'm still going to try my best and do whatever I can. I promise that I'll never put anybody in a situation like that again, but it maybe does result in something like that. So yeah, that's the situation. And to be fair, the guys in work, they know the situation. It's difficult because the contact has got less and less and less with my daughter because of what the situation she's in. Mum is an incredible person dealing with what she's doing. They both live with her. So, you know, that, like I've said on many occasions, there's not many people I know have got the strength to be able to do what she does. I mean, I'm finding it tough when I'm not there. That's a lot of the reason why I do find it tough is because I'm not there and I can't do anything for my kids there and then, you know. I can only do them at the specific windows where I get the opportunity to see them. So that's the situation I'm in. And like I say, all the guys in work know about it. They know a lot more details than I normally would divulge to. They know more details than a lot of my closest friends do. But it's because we talk a lot in work. You know, it's funny actually that the guys know me, my mates, my best mates from school upwards. They know me and they know that I kind of just deal with things myself, you know. I've always said that running a business, the primary role of running a business is to fix problems. Because if somebody needs a sign putting up, then they've got a problem and they want a sign fixing up. So our job is to fix it. If somebody, when I was in advertising sales, if somebody needed advertising and their problem was, I need more business. So my job was to help them and fix that problem. So any business owner is a fixer, really. If it's a personal situation or a personal scenario, then they do it for a living so they can manage to do it themselves in their own personal life and they'll just fix it. But it's not always the case. Within business, you more or less control everything to an extent and you find an outcome. With mental health, it's like, how do you fix this? You know, and the most frustrating thing in the world is like medical science. If you say you break your arm, they know that by putting your arm in a cast, that in 6 weeks' time, that arm is going to be more or less healed. But every bone is now on the same, nearly, on every human on the planet, so that is going to be the same for every human on the planet. Somebody's got a problem with their mental health, and let's say broken, every mind is different on the planet. You can't put your brain in a cast, and in 6 weeks' time, take the cast off, and it's back and all up. Doesn't work like that. And my frustration in the beginning was speaking with my parents, mum, and the consultant, everybody was looking after my daughter. I said, right, okay, what we're going to do? How are we going to fix it? And they're like, it won't give you a clear answer. Well, we're going to try this, we're going to try that, or we're going to try a different approach. And I'm like, right? I mean, she's not the first person in the world to have this condition, but it's her first time in the world to have this condition. And that's the bit that took ages for me to comprehend, that mental health is so different with so different people, with so many different scenarios. But there isn't like a magic pill or a magic treatment or, you know, I struggled with that. I absolutely struggled with that. And it drove me insane. I was going bananas and I really hit bottom there where I was like thinking, my God, I'm just going to jump in the car, go and see this consultant, shake the living daylight out of him and say, yeah, okay, it's easy for you to say we'll try this. But in actual fact, that's all they can do. You know, that's all they can do. And being somebody who says, right, okay, there's a problem there. This afternoon we're fixing that and this is how we do it. It's hard, so hard to kind of get patient. And it's even worse when there's somebody you care about more than anything in the world.
Yeah, that 100%. I mean, thank you for sharing all that, for starters. There's so much there, but I think I just want to touch on that fixing thing. Do you think that's a male thing as well? That all everything comes from a good place. It's coming from a good place because we just want to help. And as you said there, that last piece was because it's someone you love more than anything in the world. And when I was at my lowest as well, I got experience and my pals and my dad just tried to fix. And sometimes you just can't, because you can't see it, to use your analogy around the broken arm. You can't see that. Do you think that's something that kind of is a male thing mainly as well?
If it was years and years ago, but if I just touch on the business environment that I'm in now, I would say that to the networking events that I go to now, there are possibly more female business leaders than there are male business leaders. You know, I don't think that it's just purely a male point of view. I mean, I'm sure that my daughter's mum experienced exactly the same thing and say, hang on a minute, this is my daughter. Why are you fixing it? You know? And any parent, I'm guessing, would be in the same scenario and have the same train of thought. Unless you were trained in mental health and you understood that there is no quick fix for mental health issues. There isn't anything. Just like I said, no, I don't think it's just a male thing. I genuinely don't. I think it's a human thing, really, that if somebody knows you care loads and loads and loads about, more than anything, and you're watching your opinion, nothing being done, then I don't care whether you're a male, female, whatever you want to identify, would struggle with that. I got, yeah, it's not It's just a human trait, is to say, okay, she's broken, fix her. Or he's broken, fix her. It's not, theft.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I hear you on that, totally. I've got one, well, two more bits after this, but again, just something else I wanted to say. So Renton's here, although there were still other people going, they haven't picked up on that. So I know we haven't spent a lot of time together, so maybe that's something for down the Swans one day. But I'm really interested in that whole vulnerability piece, because the way you talked about having to face some of those challenges maybe that you were part of that affected your daughter, but then from a business point of view, you know, that showing vulnerability as a leader and giving details to a lot of guys that worked more than maybe others would, do you think that's helped as a leader as well?
Yeah,
to show being human.
I was conscious that if I was going to, like, I was going for a counseling, so I said, from the word go, I'm going to tell where I'm going, because otherwise if your diary just says Martha unavailable and it's unavailable for nigh on 2 hours a week, they're thinking, hang on a minute, is he box setting in the house, or is he just actually, when we have busy periods in time in work, really do we be in there? I stuck to it again, and they went and I followed my program through. So I thought, I don't have to tell him where I am, you know? But to be honest, I wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I just said to him, look, guys, I'm going through some shit at the minute, sorry, man. I'm going through some tough times at the minute, you know, and I really need to go up and speak to somebody, And I then also said to the lads, I said, look, much as I appreciate you guys understanding my situation, let's not dwell too much on it, because I don't want to bring the mood down in work. So, please, I need every morning, how is your daughter, Math, or how's St. Math, you know? So if I've got something to tell you, and if I've got a significant update, I will. And we put a group chat, and I post something on the group chat now again after I've had an update or something, and it's dealt with there and then, you know, because I don't want it to bring down the bubbly atmosphere and the high level of work and ethic that we've got in the business. So I kind of say, look, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. Just crack on. I won't be long. I'll be back. Because I think everybody, and I've said this to other colleagues who run their own business, and they say, well, tough, but don't matter. If you weren't at home watching a box set or whatever, you're the boss, which is fine. And I get that. But because they know the situation, they know. And then I like them to know that, okay, he's actually trying to figure something out himself and he's working on that himself. So let's just give him that. And they do. They give me that time. Again, that's weird, isn't it? They give me that time. They do. And it's, even though they're employees, and at the end of the day, I pay their wages and stuff, it's good that I've actually told them what's going on. Because, you know, touch wood, none of them need to go and see counselling. Or they have their own therapy. But if they do, tell you what, knowing how it's helped me, I'll drive them there myself, because it does help things. It really does help things. The right type of help, you know? I had no problem in telling them what the situation and what I'm doing to try and fix it. But again, a lot of it is to do with fixing me, which is fine, but it's not. Fixing me doesn't necessarily help my situation with fixing my daughter as such, you know? But that bit is getting dealt with, hopefully, the other way. Maybe my scenario is a little bit different with my employees. No, we've known each other a long, long time, and we get on well.
Yeah. There's a lot of respect there, both ways. You're talking about them giving you the time. It's because you communicate them honestly, but tell them what the score is, and they know then from a business conversation, it's a difficult conversation, they know you're gonna be honest with them. And that's all people want. We're honest and whether it's good or just tell me what's happening. And for you to do that as well shows that you're looking to improve yourself, be more curious about how you are. And it just means that you'll support them. So I don't think it's a coincidence, really, that does happen. I think it's incredible leadership. And I know I already picked up that you probably won't see it that way. You're probably seeing it, and it's just a means must. But it is it's a brilliant example of a powerful leadership, I think.
Yeah, and the scary bit is, so if I wasn't going through a tricky situation, would the conversation ever have started in
work?
I mean, I'm hoping that the guys would bring up a situation that they were in. Mm-hmm. I'm confident they were. If you've got more than like 10 people working for you, but one person that you feel comfortable to tell individual people that they've got a situation going on, or they're struggling with something. That's tough, right? You know, I can't see how anybody would do it. I mean, dang, if I was working in an organisation or when I was an employee, and I worked in some pretty big companies, some of the biggest companies in the UK with regards to advertising and stuff. Would I be comfortable in saying to my peers there and then that I would, if I was in the situation, I would? I'm going to be honest, there's no way I would. There's no way I would. I would just deal with it. But I know there's a lot of companies putting projects and mechanisms in place now to deal with it. I don't hope that it's more than just putting a sticker on a wall and saying this is your old counselling. Or
so you're definitely doing that, mate. The environment you're creating, the signing, with a guy, you're certainly doing that. I really appreciate you sharing all. An unbelievably tricky situation, mate. You're doing everything you can, being curious about your behaviours and maybe where it is, and goes without saying that just a very, 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 very best with your daughter and hopefully she's going the right way, mate. Last question, because you've given up so much of your time already. A little bit of a fun one, really. So I run a non-profit business called Speakeasy Club, predominantly around community sport and environments and venues.
Yeah.
And what that place looks like. And for me, when I was kind of at my lowest with depression, anxiety, my clubhouse, if you will, happened to be my local rugby club. That was where I felt safe. I wasn't judged. And I could just go and just kind of be happy. I love asking the question to find out other people's clubhouses. Can be anything in the world. So I'll ask you the same one. Matthew Anderson, where is your clubhouse?
I have loads of clubhouses.
Great, great.
Up until last year, I was used to do the old triathlon thing, you know. Ironman was a massive part of my life for 10 years.
Yeah.
So every Sunday is part of our part of the preparation for an event would be either a long run or a long bike ride. My clubhouse would be from probably Port Talbot to Cardiff Airport and back, but it would be the other guys on the bike. You know, you would speak more on a Saturday morning on a bike, apart from when you got to a hill, where then you'd normally turn into swearing and say, what the hell am I doing? Or a Sunday when you'd be out running with the guys, a group run or something. So that would be a huge part of my life for 10 years, a huge part of it. And I got some really close friends there who I'm still, you know, I live down in Punta del Este, they still live in Talbot. I used to live in East, so that was my triathlon club, as such then. And, you know, I still got group chats with them, and it's brilliant fun. That I've also got very close friends here. One of my best friends is into his darts like I am, and we spend a lot of time in each other's houses, play darts. You know, so, like you said, your clubhouse was rugby club. When I was playing rugby as a youngster, maybe my clubhouse was that. Whenever now, I'm enjoying and I'm not thinking about work is a clubhouse, you know, what a see a place or whatever the word you want to use to describe it is, you know, where they are no judging and you're called, all the names go in, but it's in jest, you know, it's just like, there's no one place. I go to Poland every couple of weeks if I can. My partner lives out there, so I absolutely love it out there. So the minute I park the car in Bristol and I'm doing the obligatory pint in the airport for dog, I'm in my clubhouse then, you know, so yeah, there's got lots of them.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's people, isn't it? I mean, I'm actually in the minority, I think, having a physical bricks and mortar place that is my clubhouse. But then for you, it's people.
It's just somewhere else.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where it is, you know, it's somewhere else. Like, I've got a friend who just, every opportunity he gets, he parks his van, just goes camping for the weekend. Doesn't matter where he is, on his own, in his dog. And he seems to be at the moment, and I know that he is, the happiest that he's ever been in court. You know, and his clubhouse is sitting on the deck chair with a can in his hand and a fire pit in front of him, no matter where he is. So, yeah, it's his surroundings. Like, it could be bricks and mortar, it could be a rugby club, cricket club, football club, golf club, whatever. All the clubs you could think of could be, you know, your safe place or your happy place, as, you know, a lot of people call it happy place and stuff like that. No matter, be anywhere, like, you know. Football, TV, watching the box set, as long as you're happy. But yeah, there's loads of different ways of putting it out, I suppose.
Certainly, definitely. Matt, is there anything else that you want to share, Matt, or say, or touch on?
No. I mean, when we spoke a couple of weeks back, and we discussed this and thought, kind of forgot about it until last week, actually. When you said, like, we're going to do a recording next week, I was like, oh my God, I'm prepared. What are we going to do? What am I going to say? And I spoke to somebody who did a similar thing, and they said, what are you prepared for? He's only asking you because he wants to speak to you. I mean, to see there's a conversation down the boat there or a conversation or something like that, and just on a track, you'll find that if you want to say something, you'll say it. If you don't want to say something, then knowing your mouth, you definitely won't say it. So, no, honestly, I would say more, it's just, no, two stumps. No, I enjoyed it, to be honest. I think it's good, as I say, this, again, conscious, I don't want to be waving violence campaigning, mental health, speak about it. I mean, there's enough of that happening anyway, you know, and just to say, it's hard to describe, you know, but it's only based on my own experience and the only way that I'm wired. Other people really will be struggling and feel terrified to actually see their best mates, their mums, their sisters, their brothers. They absolutely will be shitting themselves and not know what to say. Quite confident in myself. I don't pick that on that. But I don't mind saying something to people, you know, because Anthony Hopkins once said, what other people's opinions of you is literally none of your business, you know? So what I say to somebody, if it affects how they think about me, that's not my concern. You know, they've changed their opinion, I haven't. So I'm quite happy to say what I think most of the time. Sometimes that's not really the best way to approach things, you know? Maybe I should curb a little bit of what I think and what I say and stuff like that. But I'm quite fortunate that I'm quite comfortable now is saying that a lot of my decisions in the past have resulted in some terrible situations now. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again, and let's see if we can help the situation as now. How do I help the situation as now? Speaking about it, what's the worst thing that can happen if you speak about it? Somebody's either not going to listen to you, or somebody's going to listen to you. Either way, you're not going to be in a worse situation than not speaking to somebody at the first time. If they don't listen to you, then you're still not speaking to somebody. But they're going to say to somebody in a flippant remark, bloody hell, Roth told me about this thing. He said, put himself together. But that guy, that other guy who's just you at that, that's not like Mars. Maybe I'll give him a text, or maybe I'll give him a call, or I'll call around a bit. So just saying something to somebody does actually make a difference sometimes.
Matt, listen, mate, I really appreciate your time. On this Monday morning, thank you for your honesty, vulnerability.
Learned
a lot. Clearly, from a leadership point of view, it's working well. Really grateful for everything you're doing, and very best of luck, and the best for us to see you awesome as well, as we said.
Very much.
Matt Anderson signing. Thank you very much. We'll speak soon.
I hope you enjoyed that chat that we had with Matt. I thought, as I said at the top of the episode, really, he's just a really honest bloke. Tells it like it is. You get the feeling he'll look after you as well, which I think is really important. But what stood out for me as well were those boundaries in place, particularly in a workplace. You've got to bring your whole self to work. We will always look after people, but we need to make sure that there are boundaries between employer and friend. And ultimately, there is a job still to do. But a really, really good guy doing some really cool things as well from a business point of view. And obviously, some of the things he shared around his personal life and his daughter, you know, we wish him nothing but the absolute best. So really hope you enjoyed that chat with Matt too. There are a number of episodes already in the books. Please do go back and listen to them. We've got a couple more coming up in this series. If you've really enjoyed them, please do leave us a review, leave us a rating. It really helps kind of just explore where else we could maybe take these conversations. So for now, thank you so much for your time, and we hope you enjoy other episodes of the Team Wales Partner Podcast.